Title: Pinged Reverbs for Dubwise Transitions Advanced. Alright, welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live lesson, and we're going straight into one of the most underrated weapons in drum and bass transitions, pinged reverbs. When I say pinged reverb, I don't mean a general room reverb sitting on your drums the whole track. I mean a short, intentional throw. One hit, one word, one stab, launched into a dedicated reverb return so you get a moment of space, then you're back to clean, punchy, forward drums. Dubwise energy, without washing out your mix. And in 174 BPM drum and bass, that's everything. Because the tempo is fast enough that long tails can turn into fog instantly. So we're going to build a controlled system. Tempo aware, dark enough to avoid fizz. High passed so it doesn't mess with the low mids, and ducted so it literally breathes around your groove. By the end, you'll have a repeatable setup. One special return track just for pings, plus a couple pro ways to trigger them so you can do bar end punctuation, pre-drop vacuum moments, and those little post-drop space tags that make a tune feel finished. First, choose what you're actually going to ping. In drum and bass, the best sources are things with a sharp transient and some mid-range presence. Think rim shots or perks at the end of 8 or 16 bars. A vocal chop like yeah, run it, pull up, a snare ghost, a crash stab, maybe a tiny FX hit. You can ping a re-stamp too, but only if you filter it hard, because full range bass into reverb is how you delete your mix's clarity. Simple rule, transient plus mid presence equals ping clarity. Now let's build the return. Create a return track in Ableton and rename it something obvious, like a ping verb. And this is important, don't reuse your main drum room reverb return for this. This ping return is going to be more extreme, more automated, more effect, and you want it separate so you can get aggressive without wrecking your general ambience. Before we even add the reverb, we're going to do a little coach move that makes the whole thing easier to automate. Put a utility at the very top of the return, first device, and pull the gain down somewhere between -6 and -12 dB. Why? Because it makes your send automation feel touch sensitive. If your return is too hot, a tiny send move suddenly explodes into a massive tail, and you'll end up fighting it. If it's too quiet, you'll be slamming sends at like -2 dB just to hear anything. We want a comfortable range, where small send spikes translate into controllable pings. Next device, EQ8. This is your pre-clean, and in DNB, this is non-negotiable. Turn on a high-pass filter, 24 dB per octave, somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz. Start at about 220 Hz and adjust by ear. If your mix is already busy in the low mids, don't be shy. Push it higher. You're not trying to make the reverb full range. You're trying to make it speak. If it still feels boxy, add a small notch cut, maybe 3 to 6 dB, around 300 to 450 Hz. That's the mud zone where reverb loves to build up and make your snare feel smaller. And if it's too fizzy, do a gentle high shelf down from around 6 to 10 kHz. We're going for dubwise space. Dark, smoky, controlled. Now the main event. Your reverb. Use hybrid reverb if you've got it. If not, stock reverb is fine. On hybrid reverb, start with an algorithm like plate or hall. Plate is snappier, hall is deeper. For most pings, plate is a great starting point because it gives you that quick, exciting reflection without sounding like a cathedral. Keep the IR side off at first, just to stay focused. You can add an IR later if you want texture. Set decay somewhere in the 1.2 to 2.8 second range. That's typically the sweet spot for DNB pings. Long enough to feel dramatic, short enough to stay out of the next bar's groove. Predelay is where you can make it groove. Set predelay to about 18 to 45 milliseconds. That delay is basically how long before the room answers, and it's the trick that lets the original transient punch before the reverb blooms. Here's the tempo translation, because this is a power move. At around 174 BPM, a 1/64 note is about 21.6 milliseconds. A 1/32 note is about 43.1 milliseconds. So if you want a tight, drum-friendly ping, aim around that 1/64 feel. If you want more dramatic call and response, push toward the 1/32 feel. Size can be 60 to 90%. Bigger size equals more drama, but bigger also equals more chance of smear, so keep it musical. And push damping so the tail gets darker. In this genre, brightness in reverb often reads as cheap or splashy. Darkness reads as weight. And because this is a return track, set dry/wet to 100%. If you're on the stock reverb device instead, set it to high quality, decay around 1.5 to 2.5 seconds, predelay 20 to 40 milliseconds, high cut around 5 to 8 kHz, low cut 200 to 350 HC, and diffusion medium high so it's smooth but not metallic. Now optional, but extremely DNB, echo, add echo after the reverb, or before the reverb, and try both because they feel totally different. If echo goes before the reverb, the repeats get smeared into the space and it becomes more like a dub cloud. If echo goes after the reverb, you get clearer repeats of the already reverberated signal, which can sound more articulate. Turn sync on. Start with 1/8 or 1/4 timing. For fast rollers, 1/8 is often the move. Keep feedback low, like 10 to 25%. We're not building an endless delay line, we're adding a little rhythmic tail to the ping. Use echo's filter, high pass around 200 to 400 Hz, and low pass around 4 to 7 kHz. That keeps the repeats out of the sub area and stops the delay from hissing all over your hats. Modulation low, like 0 to 10%, just enough movement to feel alive. Dry/wet on echo maybe 15 to 35%, because the reverb is already doing the heavy lifting. Next, saturator. This is one of those you don't realize you need it until you bypass it devices. Put saturator after the time effects and drive it 2 to 6 dB. Soft sine or analog clip are good starting modes. Turn soft clip on if it helps. Then compensate the output so you're not just making it louder. What this does is add density. It makes the tail audible on smaller speakers without you cranking the return volume. In DNB, that's huge, because you want the vibe to translate without swallowing the mix. After that, add a glue compressor or compressor for consistency. We're not trying to crush the life out of it. We're trying to stop random pings from jumping out. On glue, try an attack of 3 to 10 milliseconds, release around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds or auto, ratio 2:1. Lower the threshold until loud pings give you about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. Then put a utility at the end for final trim and, if you want, width. Width around 120 to 160% can feel amazing, but don't go wild. Super wide reverb is the first thing that collapses weirdly in mono. And here's a stability safety net, especially if you're doing heavy send automation. Put a limiter right at the very end of the return, sealing at -1 dB. This is not for loudness. It's just to catch those occasional send spike plus resonant decay moments that clip your return unexpectedly. Now we do the thing that makes this actually work in drum and bass, ducking. Add a compressor at the very end of the return chain. After everything, turn on sidechain and choose your drum bus or a group that has kick and snare. Set a fast attack, like 0.3 to 3 milliseconds. Release around 80 to 180 milliseconds. Ratio around 4:1. Then bring the threshold down until you get maybe 3 to 8 dB of gain reduction when the drums hit. This is the space exists between hits principle. The reverb tail will surge up in the gaps and tuck down when the snare cracks. The groove stays dominant, but the ambience feels alive. Now triggering pings. Two workflows and both are professional. Workflow A is the classic. Automate the send. On the source track, like your snare, rim, or vocal, find send going to your ping verb. Most of the time, keep it at minus infinity. Off. Then at the moment you want the ping, spike it up. Usually somewhere between -10 and -2 dB. Depending on your gain staging. The key is that it's short. Ramp up right before the hit, then back down immediately after. You're throwing one moment into space, not leaving a faucet running. Easy arrangement examples. End of every 8 bars. Ping a rim shot. Instant phrase punctuation. One bar before the drop. Ping a vocal chop, then mute the dry vocal for a vacuum moment so only the tail exists. Last snare before the drop. Do a send spike and automate the reverb decay slightly longer over the last couple bars so it pulls you into the drop. Workflow B is cleaner in complex sessions, a dedicated ping trigger track. Duplicate the source or create a resample trigger track. Put a utility on it and set gain to minus infinity, so the dry signal is silent. Now use sender from that silent track to feed the ping verb. The beauty is you can place only the trigger hits in the arrangement. It's surgical. You'll never accidentally have a vocal line feeding the ping when you didn't mean to. Now, if your ping still feel too washy or too long, do the gate trick. On the ping return, add a gate after the reverb section. Set the threshold so the louder part of the tail opens, but the quiet, messy decay gets chopped. Set release around 120 to 350 milliseconds so it dies musically. Floor can be minus infinity if you want it to hard cut, or around -20 dB if you want a softer fade. This is how you get that tight, dubstep vibe, especially on jungle-style snare punctuation. Let's talk transition moves you can use immediately. Move 1. The bar and stab ping. pick a rim or perk at bar 8 or 16, send spike it into the ping return, then automate the reverb decay over the last two bars of the phrase, for example from 1.2 seconds up to 2.4 seconds. You're not changing the drums, you're changing the space. It's subtle, but it makes the section change feel intentional and exciting. Move 2. The pre-drop vacuum. One bar before the drop, do a gentle high-pass sweep on your music bus or master using auto filter. Careful with the low end. Don't destroy your sub balance. Just lift the floor a bit. At the same time, ping a vocal chop into the return. Then right at the drop, cut the send back to zero and let the side chain snap your return down so the drums hit clean. You get that inhale-exhale feeling. Tension, then impact. Move 3. The post-drop space tag. Right after the drop impact, like bar 1 beat 3 or bar 2, ping a short effects stab with echo at 1/8. Keep the reverb decay shorter, like 1.2 to 1.8 seconds, so it doesn't smear the groove. This is the where in the new section now stamp without masking the snare. Now quick common mistakes to avoid, because these will ruin the effect. Don't leave the send up. If it's not a deliberate throw, it's not a ping. It becomes constant wash. Always high pass the return. Low reverb equals mud. And mod makes your sub feel weaker even if the sub level is fine. Don't skip ducking. Without it, your ping will mask snare crack and bass transients. Watch decay versus tempo. At 174 BPM, super long tails blur your swing and phrasing. Be careful with width. Check mono occasionally, because wide reverbs can disappear. Here's a fast mono check. Drop a utility on the master, map the mono button to a key, and toggle it while your pings play. If the ping vanishes in mono, reduce width on the return, narrow echo stereo, or reduce modulation. Now a couple advanced upgrades if you want to get fancy. One is mid/side ping control. Build an audio effect rack on the return with two chains, mid and side. On the mid chain, set utility width to 0% so it's mono, heap decay shorter. On the side chain, push width, darken the EQ, and allow a slightly longer decay. Result, the center stays stable for drums and sub, while the sides bloom with atmosphere. Another is tempo-locked gating. This audio version is shortened for playback.